In the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, since you really like your references, it says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, in everything." This is us going around Sioux Falls and giving praise.
No, but you have to do it biblically, and you're worldly, and you're not following the doctrines of God, you're not preaching the biblical gospel, you're not holy, you're not a good representation of God, you're not a good witness, you're not keeping the sound doctrines. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, "Preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I commanded." You're not doing that, young lady. Yes. This is just a religious stunt. Ready? There's a guy around here, I think he's with us, from JesusRevivalUS.now or something like that. I met him in a park when I was working online. He came up to me. I witnessed to him. I gave him all the truth I've been giving you. He only listened for 15 minutes. Then he said, "My turn to talk." And I said, "Are you going to tell me something biblical or worldly stuff?" He goes, "Whatever." He turned around and walked away. He came back to his van and some of his youth were yelling at me. Nothing bad. They were going, "Hey, preacher, repent. We love you." I said to the leader, I said, "Are you going to bring your Bible?" You know what he did instead of coming and bringing his Bible and talking to me about doctrine that saves us? 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Sound doctrine saves you and them that hear you." It's the truth. That's what saves us. The truth. You know what he did? He went to his van and he got out a shofar, and he's blowing the shofar as a religious stunt. That's an Old Testament act. It has nothing to do in the New Testament, a shofar. It's just a religious, big tall guy with bippity-doo hair.
I was screaming in the microphone.
I'm sorry?
I thought I was screaming in the microphone for them.
Oh, for them. Yeah, they're not a biblical group. I'm going to be putting a testing of that ministry up to help them and to warn people. If you, ready? If you search the Chosen mini series exposed. Anybody got a phone? Do it. Look it up on Google. I think we're like number 4 or 5 on Google. That mini series is a total false representation of Jesus.
The Chosen.
I just bring that up to tell you I've been doing these testings for years, and my father, I don't have anybody on the internet does this for me. My father floats them to the top. Look up John Cooper Skillet Exposed. We're on the first page of Google. Why do we do it? To make money? So I can become a millionaire like him? So I'm popular and famous? No, I do it to warn young people that he's deceiving you. He's a worker of Satan. You still got questions?
Yeah. You practice pre-Torah.
Whatever's for context for today. I said, I don't tend to garden anymore because that was before the fall of man. So whatever fits and is echoed in the New Testament makes sense, doesn't it? If it's echoed in pre-Torah, in the New Testament, shouldn't we keep it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that there's a contradiction that I'm just wondering. It's not any contradiction.
It's not a contradiction.
Well, that I could see potentially as a contradiction.
Like what? What's the contradiction?
So, the entire base of Christianity is trying to reflect Paul and reflect Christ. Live like Paul and live like Christ.
Well, I'm obeying the command in 1 Corinthians 11 and other places where Paul says, in Philippians he says it, he says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Who better to imitate than Paul?
Yeah, I completely.
So
agree.
What's the problem with that?
So this is what my question is. He talks about celibacy. He talks about singleness.
Okay, now we're talking about celibacy. Okay.
And singleness.
Paul says it's better to not marry.
Correct.
Right? I'm married, but Paul said it's better not to be. Why?
Because it can lead you.
Yeah, because guess what?
You're in one union with.
Yeah, guess what? I'm preaching. You don't think I'm always watching, keeping an eye on my wife, looking after, protecting her? If I don't have a wife, man, I'm like, I can do anything I want, go anywhere I want, kill me right now, I don't care. I have a wife to look after. You think that stalker would have bothered me if I didn't have a wife? I would have been like, "Hey, let's have coffee, man." I would have sat down and preached the gospel to him, but I don't get close to him. Why? Wisdom. He knocks me out, jumps in a van with my wife. Wisdom. Jesus said, "Wise as serpents, gentle as doves."
So my only question is the commandment to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply the earth.
Yeah, do you believe in that today?
I certainly could because it's not contradicted throughout the New Testament.
Sure, yeah.
So why is it that Paul and Jesus, the greatest man to ever live, holy God, holy human,
right,
does not get married? It's the same thing as Paul, who has been preached to
but
by
do
Jesus.
You believe Paul preached the commandments of God? He said he did in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, "I give the commandments of God." So when Paul says, by the way, Paul talks about in Corinthians, he says, "This is I, not the Lord." Have you ever read that?
Go look that up.
So sometimes Paul was saying, "I think it's better to not marry because you're totally free. But in the Lord, I say this, and marriage is honorable." And then he said, "If you lust and can't control it, marry." So Jesus didn't marry. Come on. Why do you think Jesus didn't marry?
Okay, yeah, lust.
He's God himself. He came for a purpose, not to procreate, not to have a wife. He didn't come to feed his flesh like marriage does. Marriage is a wonderful in the flesh thing. You can have children. You can have intimacy. It's awesome. God gave it to us.
But at the same thing, this is, as you just said, this is a fleshly thing.
No. Now you're out of context. What God ordained as flesh is a good thing. Take time to sleep. Take time to feed your body. That's what God ordained. God didn't ordain this. God didn't ordain this. God ordained food. God ordained sleeping. God ordained marriage. He didn't ordain worldly, carnal, false, feminized, unbiblical, false gospel music. Get your context right.
Well, I'm just saying.
But you're going to deceive yourself by having false context.
So then what do you think about, should you have a whole bunch of kids? You know people like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I know some people have like 12.
I have 13.
That's awesome. God opens and closes the womb.
That's biblical.
Of course.
You should never stop.
Well, I don't believe
in plan.
No. I don't believe in birth control.
Okay, but do you believe in planning? Looking ahead, I only want to have 3 kids.
No.
You shouldn't do that.
No, the Bible says God opens and closes the womb. God opens and closes the womb. Children are special because God gives them. If you think you control it, you're an idolater. Honey, we're not going to have sex. Take that pill, Stop. You're going to have sex. We made a baby. Look what I made. You didn't make that baby. You know you didn't, right? So let God open and close the womb. Let God decide if you have 1 or 14. See, this is all about the will, your heart, and your surrenderness to God. If you notice, this is awesome. A lot of you have listened, so I have great hope for you guys. But so many people, they fight, they don't surrender. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to keep my will. I'm going to keep my sinful ways. You got to be open and surrender to God and say, God, whatever you want for me. If that guy's telling the truth in the Bible, he already said he doesn't have any truth. I'm not writing in the back of the Bible at night, guys. If that's true, Lord, I want to surrender to you. You shed your blood for me. You made a way for this wicked person to find eternal life. My heart and my love for you is so strong, I'll do anything. I'll change my clothes. I'll throw away my idolatrous hunting and fishing gear that I did as an idolatrous thing. If you hunt and fish to feed your family, it's awesome. Shoot a deer, throw in your freezer, awesome. You waste your time in the woods for a 50-point buck to brag about, like all these guys do. It's wicked.
If I ride my motorcycle because I enjoy it, is that wickedness?
Well, I used to have a motorcycle. They're great on gas. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you just jump on your motorcycle to drive around and feed your flesh, you're operating in the flesh. Is there better things you could be doing for the kingdom of God? They're great. They're a great vehicle. Yeah, they're a great vehicle. Just be careful. They're dangerous. I used to have a rocket. Man, I was, before I was in Christ, I was a wild man. I was 40 years old. I had a rocket that was so noisy, and I would scream down the street, and I would be going 130 coming home after drinking. I was a grandpa doing this. I have no grandchildren. I was an idiot, foolish man. But God had mercy, and he called me, and I answered. That's the only thing I have in this. My will answered. Then God said, I'll take you, and I'll use you. How much will you surrender? And I said, everything, Lord. And I had my beautiful homestead, and I was all set up for peace and safety. And I said, I can't sit here. I got to go. And I would not be preaching to all you wonderful people if I didn't go. And I get to preach to thousands of people a weekend, but I meet some really special people that seem like seekers. And here's the thing, look at this. This is what I'm really finding amazing. Young people today, ready? Is everybody here like under 30? Well under 30, right? Well under 30. You know what I'm finding in this culture? I believe the middle age and older people have been turned over by God. I believe that they held on to God's truth for so long, God said, I'm turning you over. The culture's been turned over to sodomy, lesbianism, abortion, wickedness. And you know what I'm finding? Everywhere I go and preach, why do young people listen to this old bearded street preacher? Even like 12-year-olds. I got 12-year-olds huddled around me. They're like this big. And I'm like, where are your parents? They're like, oh, our parents let us go. And I'm like, okay, you can listen. And I preach, and they're like, thanks, preacher. And they're looking at the cards, and I'm going, what is going on here? Because God will move on a blank slate. God will move on a willing heart. Old people, middle-aged people are so tainted by sin and so set for their ways. Young people still have a chance. Kind of the old little puppy, teach him good things. If you ever try to break the habits of an old dog, it's really hard. Teach him the good stuff when they're young. Bible says train up a child from when he's young and he won't depart. So it's all about your heart. Your heart is really for God. You're going to come after all these things.
What's the body cam for?
I got to get close. I'm not being weird, but I can't hear good.
What's the body cam for?
I can't, can you tell me
what is the body cam for?
Oh, the body cam. The body cam is for safety. Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, harmless as doves. Hold on. And so people lie about me. So ready?
So if we were to assault you, if we were to, you would report that.
Well, the reason I wear the body cam is they lie about me. They say I'm chasing them, screaming, using the F word, threatening children. And I tell the police officer, it's all on body cam, I don't do that. And he goes, you're probably fine. You wouldn't believe what people do. They're wicked. They're wicked. So that's why I do it for wisdom. Would you like a gospel card? You hear all that yelling and screaming? That's flesh, not spirit. The Spirit of God does not bring you here. Anybody else want a gospel card?
So you don't think there should be music in the real church?
No, there should not be instrumental music. There never was. You know who brought music? You know who brought music into the so-called body of Christ? 900 years after Christ. Roman Catholics. Look it up. History. There was no instruments in the New Testament body.
No music, it's been a thing I've been struggling with. I couldn't believe that.
They don't have any instruments?
No, it's
you just sing a cappella? That's biblical. I'm all for that. That's biblical. That's what the Bible teaches. The Roman Catholics brought in, ready? For 900 years, nobody used instruments. They sung. We're the instrument now. Don't you want to be an instrument of God?
Wait, I have one more question.
Wait, answer that, young man. Don't you want to be the instrument of God? Then don't use a guitar or drum. Sing with your lips. Good.
With speaking in tongues, I practice that. What do you think? Paul says, I praise God, I speak more than all of you.
Yeah.
In my close closet, when I'm one-on-one with God.
I'm not turning my back on you. Yeah.
Why not pray in tongues so the Spirit can intercede for
you? It's a really deep topic. You heard me say, I think you did, I'm not a cessationist, saying they're done. I'm not charismatic. I think what's happening mostly is satanic and false. I believe tongues, there's not a need for tongues today in the churches that we see. What was the gift of tongues used for in the New Testament?
There was the gift of tongues, and there was a sign of tongues.
Wasn't it the sign that they had the Spirit?
But there was two.
Yeah, and it was for all of the foreign languages of the people that were from all over.
That was the gift. That was different. That was the gift, and then there's the sign.
No, that was
okay.
The gift.
How about it?
And it should always
so
hold on. It should always be interpreted.
Not always. He says, "I do it more than any of you."
Yes, but it's always interpreted. Otherwise, it's not order. If you don't know what I'm saying, is that disorder?
In my prayer closet.
In your prayer closet, that's different. It doesn't need to be interpreted. It's just you and the Holy Spirit. That's not what's going on in Pentecostal churches.
In my life.
In your prayer closet, that's fine.
Do you pray in tongues in your prayer closet?
No, I don't pray in tongues. That's not my gift. Not everybody's supposed to pray in tongues.
Would you if God would give you that gift?
Look at me. Look at my life. I've lost everything for Christ. Of course, I'll take anything he gives me. I obey him, young man. I've proven it. I've lost everything to follow Christ. I've been right where you are, and I promise you, maybe these folks too, it's going to cost you everything to know Jesus. All your friends are going to say, oh, those people are cult. They're legalists. They're workspace. And you go, no, I don't see that in Scripture. They're just obeying because they love God, and I want to obey. Oh, you're crazy. You're going to lose everybody. It's exactly what Jesus said. That bearded man, he sure quieted down when he got stood down because he's saying, we should all come together. You knew it. Thank you for backing me up. Jesus came to divide. I want you to come out of every false way and be Christ. Because guess what? He's coming in flaming fire to divide.
Okay.
In the end times, he's going to take his elect. Who's the elect of God? Who do you think is the elect of God?
The church, the people that dropped everything and followed.
Yeah, the people that dropped everything followed his people, not by a denomination. Okay? There'll be no Pentecostals, Catholics, or Lutherans in heaven. There'll only be people that were his true saints that came out of that. The Bible says...
But could a Pentecostal make it into heaven?
You'll make it if you repent and come out of that. But if you stay in that false way, God says you're worshiping him in vain in Mark 7 and Matthew 15. You're worshiping God in vain in your man-made tradition. I'm going to show that in Scripture.
But our church is different. It's Slavic. I wish I could sit down and talk to you.
My whole family was Slavic, and I know all about that.
Really?
Ready? I'm going to read something to you. I will be around for a few days. You can email me. Maybe we can set something up. I'd love to do that. But let me read something to you, folks. Mark 7. If this don't wake you up and make you lose sleep at night over your worldly church life, Mark 7. Mark 7, 6 through 9. Jesus answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written. These people honor me with their lips, churchianity today, but their hearts are far from me. Howbeit in vain, do we know what the word vain means? Useless. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, laying aside the commandments of God. That's what I've been preaching to you all night, all afternoon. Ye hold the traditions of men. Ready? What did Jesus rebuke them for? Not pagan holidays, not feminization, not worldliness. Ready for this? For the washing of pots and cups and many other such things you do. That's all they had wrong, was they had hypocrisy and they made some few man-made traditions. If Jesus came back, he would burn this place down. He would burn your churches down. He would burn the political system. He's coming to burn it down. 2 Thessalonians 1, he's coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. So you can email me and we'll set something up. I'd love to set something up. Now, I gotta warn you, I've offered thousands of modern pastors the chance to sit down and open the Bible.
My dad's the pastor.
Okay. Maybe you got his ear. Maybe you got his ear. But I've offered thousands of men, and I told this young man, guess how many ever called me and took up that challenge? Zero.
Oh, you'll have one. He's not really modern, though. He's a little old-fashioned, but yeah. Old-fashioned.
Yeah. My grandmother came from Prague.
From where?
Prague, oh. Czechoslovakia. My father's family comes from Bohemia, which Hitler wiped out that whole country. And so I am Slavic by nature, so I kind of know all about that.
So the Slavic Pentecostal movement, Ukraine, it was Baptist. I know a little bit of it. Don't quote me on it, though. But so two Baptists come to America to make money in the 1800s. They go to a Pentecostal church, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, start praying in tongues. Everything, they come back and miracle after miracle. It's documented. What do I do with that?
I have a question. Where did Jesus say to pray? Where did he say to pray?
But he prayed out. Bosses didn't know. Just cast out demons.
Really?
In a secret room.
Said, go in your secret room.
I never knew that.
Never. Jesus, ready? Jesus never prayed with anyone. Never. Neither did the disciples pray with anyone. And yeah, Jesus, but now he was God, so I'll pray with you guys if you're my brothers, but not in public. But here's the thing, the apostles never prayed with anyone that was not their true body of Christ that were legitimate. Paul says, ready? Lay hands on no man, lest you be a partaker of the sin. Get to know who you are. So you don't just pray with anybody. Public prayer is a sin. Jesus said, go in your closet. Here's another thing that's a sin. Public giving. How many churches do this? Everybody give money. It's on Facebook. It's on the internet. We gave away $37,000 to the homeless clinic, and we're just so awesome people. Where did Jesus say to give, in public or in private?
Right. But when he said don't lay on hands, people, like, don't quickly lay your hands on people, he wasn't talking about praying for them. He was talking about appointing.
He's talking about uniting to them and being close to them, lest you become a partaker of their sin. The context of that. Go read it.
One time because I was confused about it. It meant like when you're appointing a deacon or a pastor, don't be quick to appoint him.
No, that's not the context of it. So check that out. Okay, study that. Yeah. But it will cost you everything to follow Christ. And what this is like a harlot. And this is like a whore. Wow, street preacher, you're using a bunch of words that are nasty. You know how many times the word whore is used in the Bible? A whole bunch. So I use Bible terms. I love people that are of different gender, homosexuals, but I use the biblical word. I use sodomy, because that's what the Bible says. But I've never preached any of that. And when I get them come up and ask me, well, what about homosexuality? And I go, you really want to know? And they go, yeah. And I go, I don't preach about it. I preach about all sin, because it's just another sin. So I preach the gospel to them, and then I go get them, and I say, you can hear on my website, you can hear a great witnessing to a lesbian lady. She goes, I'm a lesbian. Will I go to hell? And I said, can I preach the gospel to you first? She goes, sure. She wasn't a mocker. So I preached the gospel to her. And after I preached the gospel, I said, can I ask you a question? I said, you said you're lesbian, right? She goes, yeah. I said, forget about lesbianism. I said, the gospel I just preached to you, I said, do you keep any other sin? She goes, oh, yeah. And I said, so lesbian's not your only problem. She goes, no. I said, so let's not make it about lesbianism. Let's say you need to repent of all your sin to follow Christ. And she goes, that makes sense, because she's used to street preachers attacking homo, sodomite, and I don't do that. I talk to people one-on-one. I'll tell them it is unbiblical, it is sinful, but I don't lead with those things. Your typical street preacher wants to be a guy on YouTube making a bunch of clicks. He wants fights and antics so he gets 50,000 clicks. I'm not popular on the internet. I don't want to be. I put it out there for seekers to find, to be taught, and to be trained. Yes, ma'am. You got to come close. I got a bad ear.
So this is like just a basic question, but how do you know the gospel is real? How do you know Jesus is real? How do you know Christianity is real? Just the basics. How do you know God is even real?
Oh, how do you know if Jesus is real? Are you a Christian? Why are you asking that?
I'm struggling with my faith.
Oh, you're struggling. Okay. Thank you.
I know that God is real because ours does not exist. But then everything's so slow, God had doubts about everything. Everyone just...
Yeah. What I would tell you about... What I would tell you...